Have home prices peaked? Is the Fed planning to announce a taper of its balance sheet? And are there signs consumer spending is about to slow down? Answer those questions and more on today's Macro Show. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter. And of course, we're back out at the castle walls today because we have to defend against those sellers who are trying to drive yields higher ahead of the FOMC meeting. Now, today we're going to answer two important questions that I want you to try to answer as we go through the show today. The first one is on yields. Are Treasury yields too high, too low, or just right? You can use the same for mortgage rates. Same question. Second question, I want you to try to figure out, is the Fed going to taper, or at least announce a taper, at the Wednesday FOMC press conference, of course, which we'll cover on Wednesday. Now, let's start out by taking a look at the housing market, because are we seeing a bubble that's about to burst? Are there indications of it? Well, I'll let you make the decision, but let's take a look at the month-over-month data of new home sales. This was expected to be positive and came in at -6.6, and this is only one of two series since 2011 where you have 3 months in a row of month-over-month negative declines, and this one came in at -6.6, so it was a little bit better than the last two, but the year-over-year rate of change down -19.4%, suggesting bad things for the housing market is coming. Now, the last time we saw 3 month-over-month declines, the year-over-year rate of change was bottoming and heading up, not spiraling down. Is that just a sign in itself? Well, it's a pretty good indicator, because if we take the new homes, existing homes and pending homes, and we put those on a chart, well, we see something interesting. Going back to 2018, you notice that the three were fairly consistent. Then going into the pandemic, of course, everything shut down and sales dropped with it. But here we have, starting in April and in May, we see new home sales, existing home sales, and pending home sales all shoot up, all in line with people getting stimulus checks. In fact, as the stimulus checks continue, those sales numbers continued to stay elevated. And now as stimulus checks are fading and going away, all of a sudden, these home sales are headed lower. Again, are yields too high, too low, or just right? Let's continue. How about total new home sales versus median home sales price? So we have new home sales in red, median new home sales price in green. This is really interesting because as new home sales fall, it puts downward pressure on the median new home sales price. And when new home sales start to rise, well, of course, you'd expect prices to rise. And then when new home sales started to struggle and flatline a little bit, notably, this was in 2018-2019. So we'll look at that here. We're going to come back to the slide here in a moment and look at what happened to prices. Now what's happening? New home sales headed down. Everyone thinks prices are going to continue to head higher. This is suggesting that perhaps we are looking at the peak in home prices. Let's look at new home sales monthly supply. Is this a supply and demand issue? Well, not really. We're sitting at around 6.3 months of supply, which is right in line with where we were before the pandemic. So it's not the fact that supply is way out of line. That has nothing to do with it. Perhaps it has something to do with, well, home builder confidence. Well, they're overly confident about their views. And home buyer confidence remains, well, really low. But where the real story is, it's in the, with the University of Michigan. This is something worth looking at every month. If you have a chance, look at the University of Michigan Consumer Confidence Survey, because it tells you a lot of really good information about where consumers are at. And here you can see that consumers, in terms of bad buying conditions, in terms of home prices, whether it's for houses in red, durable goods in blue, or vehicles in orange, you can see it's off the chart. Now let's go back and see, remember this 2018-2019? Well, the thought that home prices were too high, well, that was elevated. Now let's go back, and here it is. When home prices get too high, people stop buying as much, and that means prices don't go higher. Doesn't mean home prices, doesn't mean they're going to crash, just means they could go down some. This might be the peak for a while. Now let's also go back and look, going into the great financial crisis, we saw bad buying conditions for homes were up, but that didn't stop people buying into 2007. But as that went away, we ran right into a recession. So potentially, as these buying conditions peak and roll over, it tells us that we're going to see a potential major slowdown. But does the story end there? Well, not really, because for those of you that caught the interview that Michael Gadd and I had on Sunday, we talked about lumber and how lumber is a leading indicator of the housing market. Here you can see this is random length lumber futures, a continuous contract. You see it broke through its 21-day moving average here in red. Those who watch the Sunday Night Chart Show are familiar with this. Broke through the 50-day, 100-day, 200-day, and now it came up and tagged the 21-day moving average and got rejected, an indicator that prices are still heading lower. But what does this have to do with perhaps home builders who are overly confident? Well, let's take this opportunity to add home builders to this, because we know when home builders lose confidence, prices are headed lower, and you can see there is a strong relationship between the two. In fact, if we zoom out, we'll go out to the 5-year, you can see that home builder stocks tend to rise pretty quick against lumber, and then they come back down, and if lumber heads lower, well, home builder stocks are coming lower. And here we can see that event happen again back in March. Let's go look at the Great Financial Crisis for fun. And here we can see, where is that? Oh, it's off the chart. So we don't get, data doesn't go back that far on this chart system here. So we can't look at that. But what it tells us from the perspective of lumber is that home building stocks are coming down. And that means demand for housing is coming down. And if demand for housing is coming down, well, that means prices are likely coming down. So again, coming back to that question, are rates too high, too low, or just right? Well, the answer would be they're too high. And why are they too high? Because the rates are not low enough to spur enough demand for housing. I know it seems crazy that we've had all this big run up in price, but wait till we take a look at the weekly credit data, because it gives us some more information to this. Let's take a look at that right now. And here we have, from last Friday, real estate loan growth. Now it's up from a negative number to a slightly less negative number at minus 0.68% against 30-year fixed rate mortgages. And here you can see in blue when real estate loans on a year-over-year basis are contracting and heading lower, just like they did after the Great Financial Crisis. What does that mean for yields in red? It means, and here you see the 30-year fixed rate mortgage rate, it means yields are headed lower because they're too high. You need to create credit growth. And the way you create credit growth is not from higher yields, because people tend to not purchase when interest rates go up. They tend to purchase more when they go down. So this is suggesting that rates do indeed need to fall. While we're here, let's take a look at commercial industrial lending. This also from Friday. Growth rate is flat at minus 14% a year ago. We see these 3- and 6-month rate of change are rising, so a little positive sign there. How about total all loans and leases at commercial banks? So what are you seeing? More signs that rates are too high. The growth rate is up to minus 2.37%, but the 3- and 6-month rate of change are virtually flat. They're rising, but they're not going anywhere, suggesting that rates are too high. How about consumers? Remember, this shot up due to all that stimulus, and finally consumers started charging on their credit cards again, and consumer credit card growth rate is up to virtually zero, and where it seems to be holding. Again, telling us from multiple different angles that rates are indeed too high. Now, the next question is the Fed likely to taper the upcoming meeting? Now, many are suggesting, because of this 3 months of decline in new home sales, that's enough to take the taper talk away. Well, I asked you, what do you think? Well, we went to the Twitter. Let's take a look at the poll we put up today, and we'll see. What did you say? Let's refresh this so we have the most recent numbers. And over 2,100 of you responded saying no. I do want to mention the one person who said he voted yes, didn't mean to, got the wrong one. So over 84% of you said no. Now, again, if you missed that interview with Michael Gadd and I, you can check it out on my YouTube channel, posted yesterday afternoon. And phenomenal feedback from it has been outstanding. Let's take a look at the credit data, because again, here's your question of, is the Fed a rate too high, too low? And why does that matter? Because, you know, when you think about tapering, what does tapering do? It causes rates to go up. So if you want to keep rates down, you have to do more QE, or at least continue doing QE. So let's take a look at what happened here, because there's something interesting here I want to point out. Bank credit up $18 billion. Now, on the headline, that's pretty good. Securities and bank credit up $14 billion. So that's telling you that the banks expanded their balance sheets by buying treasury securities. Mortgage-backed securities, it went down $2 billion. And U.S. Treasuries up $14 billion. Now, we haven't seen a lot of treasury buying here, but I want to suggest this, and I don't know if what I'm about to tell you is the reason or not. We'll see in the weeks to come, perhaps. But one thought that I've had is as banks offload their savings accounts, their customer savings accounts into money markets, which is over to the reverse repo of the Fed's balance sheet, it maybe puts some shrinkage to their size to allow them to buy more treasury securities, because we know what the Fed really wants the banks to do, and that's buy more treasury. So the banks are buying, meanwhile everyone else is still selling, as we saw today. So let's continue on and take a look at, for more evidence that rates are potentially still too high. We'll move down to loans and leases, all commercial banks. Well, there's a little bit of bright spot there. That was up $4 billion. Commercial industrial loans down $3 billion, so that's not good. Real estate loans flat, again telling you there's no credit growth. No credit growth, rates too high. Consumer loans, well, after the consumer loans were driving a lot of this recovery, now they're flatlining, and cash at all commercial banks up $87 billion. So what is the likeliness that we're going to see a Fed taper? I say pretty low. Will they talk about it? Yes, I think they're going to talk, you know, I think they're going to mention their notes that they continued the discussion. Are they going to announce anything? No, I think that is still premature. One person in the Twitter poll mentioned that, you know, that they thought perhaps reverse repo limits could go up. Now, that would be really interesting, because today's reverse repo is sitting at $891 billion, just about ready to cross again over into that $900 billion mark. So that would be interesting if the Fed raised it, simply from the perspective as the Fed is acknowledging this reverse repo problem is going to get worse. But yet no one's really questioned them. No one's called them out yet. Maybe this meeting someone will. I'm eager to see. All right, let's take a look at spending, because are we starting to see some potential signs that spending is going to slow? Well, let's take a look at this from Bank of America's credit card internal data. So unemployed households experienced a noticeable slowing in card spending relative to those not receiving benefits in the states where benefits expired. So we're seeing a household, we're seeing credit card use decline, as that we know is a potential indicator, because when do unemployment, extended unemployment benefits go away? That's right, September 6th. So if this is correct, what they're seeing in the credit card data, well, this other spending at other households is likely to come down. Now, on last week, we talked about Morgan Stanley's equity analyst talking about the percentage of stocks over the 50-day moving average. Well, it's risen a little bit since that article came out to a little bit over 50%, remaining one standard deviation below the norm. What this suggests is still there's danger sign for stocks. If this were to roll over and we see more stocks fall below the 50-day moving average, we could be set for a fairly reasonable correction in the market. Doesn't mean the whole floor falls out, just means there's a an increasing chance of a reasonable correction coming out. If this can get higher, well, that means the rally is set to get even bigger with more new all-time highs coming. Let's take a look at a little bit of economic data coming out of Japan on Sunday night. Manufacturing PMI, this is preliminary data, unchanged from the month before, so we're expanding at the same rate. Services PMI expanded at a slower rate, showing services sector in Japan is leading the manufacturing sector lower, not something you normally see. Core CPI out of the Bank of Japan, this again excluding food and energy, went from zero to a whopping inflationary 0.1% year over year, which is really nothing. How about looking at Germany? We've got business expectations, current assessments, and business climate index. These are all sentiment surveys, and they're virtually unchanged so far from June. So no further excitement coming out of the German economy. And let's move down here. We already saw the new home sales. Dallas Fed Manufacturing Business Index expanded at a little bit slower rate in July, from 31.1 to 27.3. And of course, we have to look at today's two-year auction, which actually was met with pretty good demand, as we saw foreign investors and central banks take about a little over 52% of the auction. The bid to cover, which is a six-month average of how many bids to cover the $60 billion offer, was below the six-month average. But here's something to understand, is the dealers took $15.5 billion. Now, what's important to understand is the Fed is buying, get this, $24.85 billion of two-year treasuries per month. You want to know why two-year treasury yields are pinned where they're at? In fact, we can go look at that. If you want to know why they are not going to go higher. It's because the Fed is doing everything it can to keep them there. And let's see here, 2-year Treasury note futures, and you can see virtually going nowhere. We can zoom out over a 2-year period, and you can see, yes, they had a bit of an increase, and that increase is being reversed thanks to the Fed buying more than the dealers are taking. So what does that mean in terms of how this plays out? It means that yields on the 2-year should fall as the Fed mops up the supply from the market. Let's take a look at how hedge fund managers positioned. We talked kind of briefly how they're short and they want to be short ahead of this FOMC meeting. Well, with a 10-year treasury yield, their treasury, they're long going into that. But with the 30-year, they're holding that. They believe 30-year rates are too low and need to go higher. And I think after what we went through today, it's fairly conclusive that rates are indeed too high, which suggests that, of course, if rates are too high, you kind of see why the bond market, you see it slowly, you know, moving higher here. It's because the market forces at play. The monetary system itself is telling the investors that, look, rates are too high, and if you don't bring them down, we're going to force them down to create credit growth. That's what you need to understand, to force credit growth. Let's finish up and look how the rest of the speculative positioning. A big drop in crude oil longs. That's kind of interesting. You know, crude's been very bullish, and now all of a sudden speculators looks like they're cashing in. They back slightly off their S&P 500 longs a little bit, not much. And they're backing off their euro future longs. That should be bearish for gold. And lo and behold, they increased their gold speculative positions just slightly. And NASDAQ, they are slightly net short. Russell 2000 small caps, digging deeper into the small caps. If you're watching the Sunday night chart show, you're looking at a 6-month topping pattern. They're looking to break lower at any time. And they increased their dollar longs just slightly, as they remain slightly bullish on the dollar, and they backed off on their volatility futures just a little bit. So I think it's pretty conclusive. We could say yields are too high, at least according to your votes, and I'm voting with you. I say Fed doesn't taper, no announcement taper. I say I'm no doubt in my mind in the notes they'll mention they talked about it, but talk is cheap, action is everything. Fed doesn't go, but now you know why housing prices may have peaked. Anyways, as always, I appreciate you being fans. Appreciate you subscribing and watching, supporting the show. We'll be back on Wednesday to see what the Fed actually did. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter. Bye now. The content of this video is provided as educational information only. It is not intended to provide investment or other advice. This material is not to be construed as recognition or solicitation, buyer selling security, financial instrument, or participate in any particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter. Personal capacity opinions expressed in this video that do not reflect the view of Atlas Financial Advisors, Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.